Sold. Now that you know how affordable a Linux system is, you should contact Modern Air today.
KVOE live and local. Good morning on a Friday. Sunshine, 18 degrees. Wind chill, a plus 7 out there. And it is time for What's in Outdoors with our main outdoors guy, Phil Totten. Yes, indeed. What's in Outdoors brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. You know, Bluestem doesn't have it. It probably is not around. Bluestem Farm and Ranch and Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. And John and Jenny, that great crew out there, and Kurt, take great care of you. Indeed, they do. At Express Tire and Auto. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Well, Ron, I'm hanging in there. Goodness, there's so much going on in the outdoors, I might need to consider doing a weekly show again.
Well, hey, we'll welcome you back anytime, my friend. You know that.
Well, I'm working on getting some young people to jump in there, Ron. We set up a new scholarship. Haven't got the final word yet, but that's working with the Emporia Community Foundation and Flint Hills Tech College. So I'm going to look to get a multimedia scholarship going on that has to do people can learn to do what all we're doing these days.
Well, that's great, and we'll certainly want to promote that here, too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's just crazy. I've been working the outdoor shows. Went to Wichita last week and took Ginger, and who I'm calling my side chick now. She's 85 years old. But that's Dutch Honor's widow, and we just couldn't have her staying home on Valentine's Day, so we took her to the show and then took her out to eat. So it's all cool. I tell you, we got a couple of crocus blooming out in the yard. The birds are singing. The humming, the bluebirds are looking for nests. So it's just got it going on.
Yeah, you always have something in the fire there. No doubt about that, Phil.
But at that outdoor show over at Wichita, I run into my good buddy Nick Bass. And it's the first time that I saw him in an outdoor show. But they got an awful good message going on over there at Hartford. And, of course, we've been supporting that with a lifetime hunting or fishing license to give away. But, Nick, welcome to the show. And tell me, what's your experience at that Wichita show was?
Well, good morning, guys. We had a great experience. We got up there. We grew our Facebook page. We're not really selling anything. You know, we're just trying to spread the word about the tournament. And one thing I enjoyed was how many people just stop and talk to you and, you know, really, really get an idea for what we had going on. And some of the people at the outdoor show said that they hadn't fished in years, but looking at all of our pictures that we had going there at our booth, they're like, I think I need to get my rod out. And that's one of the great things, just motivating people to get back outdoors.
Well, one of the things that I really like, and I use it several times, there's two boys up there, and they're holding a big old flathead. And I mean, the one guy on the right is just holding it for all he can, and while the other young man is opening that flathead's mouth and peeking in there. I just want to think, did I drop my cell phone in there, or what's going on? But you guys have a great tournament over there that's so cool, and it's not really a tournament. It's a get-together of friends and families to remember Hubba Hubba. And can you tell us a little bit more of what started you to make a tournament in that memorial?
So, you know, Jeremy, Hubba, and Jason and Clint passed away in that boating accident while they were duck hunting. And we just kind of got it going as something to remember them by. And, you know, you guys have heard this story several times, but the first couple of years there was just maybe five or six teams. And then we've gradually grown. Everybody kind of just loves it and comes back every year. So during COVID there, we started getting sponsors, and we've ended up having to cap the teams at 50. We have a huge turnout for the crowd, and just a great way to remember these guys. And it's not even necessarily just these guys anymore. We've like Bryson Byerly, we do an award for him, and Alex Higby. It's gave us opportunity to raise money in a lot of these great guys' names and give back to our community.
Well, Nick, are you still capped at 50? I know you're generating more and more interest.
Right now, we're going to cap it off of 50 teams. We'll see how that goes this year. Last year, we had right at 50, but, you know, the water was so high that we only ended up weighing, it was like 26 teams. You know, it was pretty tough fishing, and that's one thing about the tournament. It's happening that weekend no matter what. Rain, snow, or sunshine, we'll be there. So, I mean, it was rough fishing, but the great thing was is even those guys that had a hard time fishing over the weekend still showed up to that Sunday weigh-in, bought raffle tickets, and bought breakfast from the football team. And, you know, they got to share their stories from the weekend with each other. You're right. It is a competition. It is a tournament. But pretty much it's just a big family gathering at this point. I mean, we don't really have any arguments up there. Everybody just likes to see each other. It's one time a year some of these guys see each other.
Well, my thought, Nick, is, and it is going to be the first weekend in June. Is that again this year?
Yep, it'll be the first weekend in June. We'll do the fish fry on June 4th, and then the teams can start fishing on June 5th at noon. Then we'll have that optional weigh-in June 6th, and then the final big weigh-in will be Sunday morning, June 7th.
Well, Nick, I know there's going to be a big, a raccoon roundup over there by Burlington starting tomorrow, and I'll touch on that later on in the show. And, of course, you know, some people get into these things for competitions, but then, you know, there's just so much more to go on with that. But in that sense, it's more than just a competition. It's getting people in the outdoors together to talk and to laugh. And what I really like is for the younger kids, the people, your volunteers have picked up that backyard bass program that we do. And then, of course, that's making a partnership to the library. And so with that, is there any other partners that will be involved with it this year than what's going on in past years?
The guys that are putting on the Topeka and Wichita Boat and Outdoor shows are going to be a sponsor this year. We've got some extra sponsors we're going to add in there. So that's the great thing. It's like the library helped us out. I think it was great for people to get in there. It's great for the kids to do those games. And I know, you know, Phil, everyone else might not know, we're pretty lucky in our area for these awesome programs that we have around here. You got the Yeager Jenkins Memorial Catfish Tournament, the Gary Fuller Shootout, the Lonnie Jasper Coyote Hunt, and now this raccoon competition. And we're helping sponsor that because we love to save our nesting birds. But all those things are great memorials around here that I don't think you see other places, but we're pretty lucky to have them here.
We're definitely living in an outdoor community, Nick. And speaking of outdoors right now, you know anybody that's been going out catfishing?
Oh, the blue cat are going. You know, I had a guy tell me last weekend that the best time to blue cat fish is when there's ice, when there's not ice on the water. Any other time, you're good to go. We had some friends go over and to the lake last weekend and did pretty good on the blue cat.
Well, with that, you know, we're going to have, and you're going to be help joining me in a seminar over at the Topeka Boat and Outdoor Show that's starting today. I got to get gathered up and get over there. But one thing I'm going to talk about for the people that don't attend the show is fishing that whole Neosho River Basin. And I was just wondering, how old were you when you first started wading that river out there, Nick?
Oh, my gosh. You know, my parents lived a mile from the river, so probably when I was old enough to walk. I remember when the white bass used to run really good at Hartford when I was really little. All that timber there by the boat ramp, that's timber now, it used to be a field. You could drive back in there and go white bass fishing. So I've been fishing the Neosho as long as I can remember.
Do you remember the very first fish you ever caught?
Yeah, white bass.
Uh-huh.
That was the first one I caught down there.
What is your biggest catfish, Nick?
My biggest rod and reel catfish is 63 pounds. And then our biggest one online is like 78.
Do you think we'll catch anything that big this year?
I hope so. Those guys from the Ottawa area, they caught that 98-pound blue cat the weekend before the fishing tournament a couple of years ago. So I think it's just a matter of time before we see a giant like that.
Well, it's John Redmond. Now, we talked about ice out, and I'm going to get into that a little bit more on the second part of the show. A lot of people like to go right when there's ice out, and I know that there are a lot of dead shad and crappie up along the bank. We down here at Council Grove, we've seen them. And I want to know your thoughts about people going out and picking up those fish and maybe filleting them and putting them in a jar. Or do you think there's a better way?
That's how I grew up making shad sides was when the ice came off, picking them up and making homemade shad sides. So it's good. Freezing those shad still works. Obviously, the best bait for catfish is fresh bait, but they'll still bite those dead shad and crappie that you can pick up.
Well, I'm glad you said that. My wife's sitting in the living room. When I started talking there, she went back in the other room, because just the other day we went across from the Council Grove Marina into Santa Fe Trails to Santa Fe Park over there. And that was just lined up with, I saw a couple of dead crappie, but the shad were there. And of course, that's something you need to wrestle from the eagles and the gulls. And of course, the critters will come in there and get them at night. I tried to get my wife to get a sack or let me put some of them in her purse. And, that wasn't going to happen. So I'm going to get over there and get some more. Well, Nick, I really appreciate you being on the show and can't wait to do that seminar with you tomorrow there at Topeka.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to get rounded up, get headed that way. I just did a Walmart run to change up some things for our booth, so we're excited for the weekend.
Okay, guy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Nick.
Yep, you guys have a great day.
All right, Nick Bess with Phil Totten. What's in Outdoors? KVOE Live and Local. It's 8:37. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
It's never too early to start planning your springtime projects. With Blue Stem's full line of Scott's Lawn Care products, you'll be ahead of the game. The Blue Stem Service Center is here to help as well. Bring your mower in for a tune-up now for a reduced labor cost instead of leaving it in storage till it's too late. Blue Stem Farm and Ranch has what you need for every season. See you at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 and Emporia.
As winter continues, your off-road vehicle continues to be a valuable asset to you and your operation. Keep it running its best with service from Express Tire. As your local authorized Polaris sales and service dealer, they can service or repair your side-by-side or ATV. Or they have the supplies in stock if you want to do it yourself. Besides Polaris, Express Tire can also service most other brands. Visit them at 806 East 12th or online at ExpressTirePolaris.com.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. Cold start to the day, 18 degrees, wind chill of plus 8. This is What's In Outdoors, Phil Totten. So you're going to be indoors at the show here in Topeka this weekend, huh, Phil?
Yes, and I don't know what it is, Ron. I apologize to my daddy every day. He would be cold, and I couldn't understand how he was cold. Of course, he was from Alabama. And if I remember right, I think that man would start putting on his long johns about September and not take them off till June, just to be safe in case, we had some of those 70-degree days, and then before you know it, we're whatever it is this morning. But I'm that way now, so I say, Pop, yeah. I'm so sorry that I bothered you with how can you be so cold. But we talk about transition and how fish will go from what we call pre-spawn, the spawn, to then after the spawn. And I caught really one of my biggest walleyes after the spawn, and it was almost close to 12 pounds down here. And one of the things that I always liked to fish was Easter weekend, and it took me a long time to realize that Easter might be five different weeks in there in the date. So
yeah.
You need to really look at the conditions of the day that you're fishing. But walleye, they are thinking about moving up to the rocky points and face of the dam to spawn. And they generally like to spawn when it's old, between in the low 40s, between 42 and 45, with the peak of the spawn between 42 and 50. But right now, the water in Council Gold Reservoir is only 38. So they're not really quite moving yet. They might be moving from their winter habitats up along the creek banks to the areas that they like to spawn. But, no, like Nick said, people are wanting to get their fishing poles out and go. And I've had some good reports of fish being caught, you know, right now in ponds. And so, of course, the ponds are smaller bodies of water. They will warm up quicker. And, you just got to go. Fishing is fishing. You don't know what you might catch when you cast out there. But do you ever have any questions about fishing down here at Council Grove, please give me a call, and I'll try to do a fishing report. We are going to be doing our summer-long Family Fun Fishing Contest again, and that'll start the taking entries the 1st of May. And we will be doing a weekly show then, so I can catch up on some of this. But it's just so cool seeing those young people come into the store when they win their weekly prize, and especially sharing the stories with their parents when they come in there. But right now, Ron, we got a lot of things going up in Topeka with bills being voted on, yeah, with other bills being considered. So I'm trying to get more and more people to get engaged with what's going on in the outdoors. I had high hopes for a bill called 2063, and that would allow more money to come in under the umbrella of conservation, and then it also had a part on it to allow schools to get funding to help take kids to outdoor activities like what I do. But I heard that bill went from, they was asking $63 million last year, and it was pretty close, and dropped it to $16 million this year, and come out of committee yesterday, and then I heard it was dropped. So it's not dead yet. They might pick it back up, but I'm trying to stay away from the political game. But we need to be involved with it. And with that, I talked to the public affairs lady with Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, Laura Rose Clausen, and she passed a very good link to me. And so this is you can go to the Wildlife and Parks webpage, and I just say simply Google ksoutdoors.com. And that will give you all the different bills and where they are at in Topeka right now. And like I said, right now 2063 doesn't look like it's going to make it. But another bill that I'm very interested in is Kansas has three navigable waters, rivers. And so you can go to a point of entry and put your kayak in and boat as long as you go up and down those rivers and stay on the water. You can't get out on the bank, and they're looking at maybe cutting those access to those areas down. I'm going to try to pursue that a little bit more and just see how that goes. And lady that was the river keeper of the call, Dawn Bueller, she's very, very wondering what's going on there, because she manages the river from all the way from Fort Riley, where it's the call, into Kansas City. And she has went out there and kayaked that whole river. It took her a day or two, but she did it. So let's keep in touch with what's going on in Topeka, people, and make your vote count whenever that comes up.
Good
let's
idea.
Let's go to that last break, Ron.
All right. Phil's back with more right after this.
As winter continues, your off-road vehicle continues to be a valuable asset to you and your operation. Keep it running its best with service from Express Tire. As your local authorized Polaris sales and service dealer, they can service or repair your side-by-side or ATV. Or they have the supplies in stock if you want to do it yourself. Besides Polaris, Express Tire can also service most other brands. Visit them at 806 East 12th or online at ExpressTirePolaris.com.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
Hey, did you see those chicks walking by? Poultry in motion. I'm talking about Bluestem's expanded poultry department with everything for chickens, ducks, and geese, and watch for their bi-monthly Chick Day ads. And those little critters you call family deserve the best from Bluestem's pet supply section. Pick up top pet food brands like Science Diet, Diamond, Iams, and Purina. If you need it, Bluestem's got it. See ya at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. This is What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten, brought to you by Express Tire and Auto and Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply. Studio North in Council Grove, down by the water. That's where Phil is at. He's going to be up with the big boat show in Topeka here this weekend. And Phil, I know you alluded to this earlier in the show, but I think it's something we really want to start promoting here, and that's the scholarship you are starting out to Flint Hills Tech College in the multimedia department. Why don't you tell us about that again?
Well, Ron, that's something when I first started my What's In Outdoors Fund. Of course, I've had some awful good mentors ahead of me, one of them being Clint Boyer. And Clint, when I first started doing things, I'd always go to his 79 fund, and he was always graciously would give me a grant to buy the things I do. I'm also involved with the Outdoor Writers of Kansas, and being with that group, that's Michael Pierce, Brent Fazee, longtime writers for the Eagle and the Kansas City Star, and Mike Miller that wrote for the Wildlife and Parks magazine. But hard copy writing just isn't going out as much as it did. You know, our newspapers are folding. They do the best they can. I'm blessed to have a sponsor here in Council Grove, Jan, with Council Grove Republican. But anyway, When I quit doing my writing, and I never did lose my love of communicating, I let that group know, let's be known as the Outdoor Communicators of Kansas, because now there's so much going on with social digitry and, you know, media, social media, and every day some apps changing. So I went and approached Michael Crouch about that. We were celebrating Jane Riebel's 95th birthday, and you talk about a remarkable lady.
Indeed, no doubt about that.
I can only wish. And so they were telling me what's the difference between a non-endowed fund and an endowed fund. And so I was a railroader. I didn't know anything about these things. I know the work of the Emporia Community Foundation is just fantastic. And to bring things, you know, into the Emporia area and the help that they give. I can't even scratch the surface. So I depend on Lonnie and Linda and now Mike to give me a little bit of a steering. So with multimedia and apps changing every day and the things that we can reach through some of these Instagram and all that stuff, I do not understand that. So I'm asking them, and so we've set up some kind of deal, and we hope to a scholarship that we hope to offer this year for anybody that can go to the Flint Hills Tech College and work under Casey Wilson in his multimedia group. So you see, it's going to be wide open. Multimedia can be radio, it can be writing, it can be everything these computers throw at us, even the frustrations, how to handle that. And I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so, too, and we hope people will take advantage of that, and we'll certainly publicize that here, too. So great idea, and I think that's going to benefit quite a few folks. Good idea there, Phil.
One of the things that I've made a stipulation is that I'm going to set this up, provided I can come sit in the class.
There you go.
I might even grab Janie to go in there with me. Her and I double date. Did I ever tell you about that?
You have not.
Well, I'll come into Emporia. Of course, Janie, she is the aunt to my son-in-law, Jim Hanna. But I'll come pick her up, and we'll go to Brahms, and that's one date, and we'll share a hamburger, and then we'll go around town and just talk about, I used to do this with Dr. Summers, who was a dentist, and we would just talk about how Emporia has grown, some memories you might see, and, where the incident happened, or where the little Twinkerbell, was it? I can't remember her name, but she was known as Peter Pan, where they had that incident down there, just writing the history. Emporia is rich in history. But then, anyway, when it's about time to go home, I'll take Janie back by Brahms, and we'll get a double dipper. So that's my double date news with Janie Riebel. But it's just cool, the things you go through your mind when you get older, and that's one reason I do that summer-long family fun fishing contest, just to create smiles and memories. Now I've gotten involved with senior centers, and I go down here, and they're trying to get me to do that, what is it, Tai Chi chair exercise?
Yeah, Tai Chi, yeah, that's it.
I was just when I can see a lady that might be in her 80s with a twinkle in her blue eye and said, "I can't believe it. I stood on 1 foot for 5 seconds." And when you get up to my age, it's sometimes it's those little things that you gain with that. But Ron, I do want to hit on the Lonnie Jasper Memorial. It's called a $1,400 varmint bounty. Of course, anybody in the outdoors knows for years our upland game birds are turkeys. The numbers are going down. So we wonder just why are those numbers decreasing? Is it loss of habitat? Is it more use of pesticides? Is it too much hunting? Do we need to change regulations? And you remember when Chuck Gardner and they had that good event called the Hunt for Hungry?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a type of a competition, but they made good use of the meat that they harvested. You know, they'd give it away. And so I see, you know, the pros and cons about such contests like raccoon roundups and what the Lonnie Jasper Memorial Foundation is. But I just wonder where the scientific, what our wildlife and parks biologists work with. Are we really doing good with a harvest to take the nest robbers out? And I really think one could do, you know, with lack of trapping, with people not being into fur harvesting, we have more of those critters that go on through the grasses. And we're not only talking about our upland game birds, our prairie chickens, our turkeys, but the other ground nesting birds. So is it really the nest robbers that are really hurting them and going with that? So, you know, and time is going to tell, but I'm really excited about knowing about the Lonnie Jasper Memorial Tournament because that's another group that will be over at Topeka, and it has to do, who is that sponsor? I think it's the Jade Seeds there in Burlington. And I don't have a phone number, but I'm going to work on that. I'm going to look them up, and maybe we'll get them on the show later on to find out what their event's about.
Okay.
So with spring coming, the bluebirds are looking for a place right now. So if you have a bluebird house, it's sort of one of those things that's controversial. Do I leave last year's nest in that house or do I take it out? Well, different researches and stories that I've heard said you're best taking it out and then, you know, try to get it as clean as you can and the birds will start coming. You want to really look and see what kind of nest that a bluebird puts as opposed to what a sparrow or a wren will do. And if you really want to keep the bluebirds there, you need to keep those other critters out. I wish I would have got out on the lake earlier when it was iced out and put up a wood duck house because I know it won't be long. The wood ducks will be, you know, the ones that are here, they'll be coming in and looking in the tall cottonwoods for a place to nest. And they're a cavity dweller and just a remarkable critter to watch. They're just so pretty. And then, too, when the little fledglings jump out of that nest, and they could nest right there in the middle of Emporia, down by the railroad tracks we found the little ones. Once they jump out of that nest, I don't know what kind of shock absorbers the Lord's given on those little feet, but they'll bounce off the ground and get up and get to run. Well, Ron, I appreciate you, and we'll be keeping KVOE in our thoughts and working with you to do what we can to get the young and families outside for a better insight.
That's what I was going to say, get them outside, better insight. Thank you, Phil.
Appreciate you, Ron.
All
God bless.
Have a good weekend, Phil Totten. You'll find him at the boat show speaking here this weekend. Where's Phil? Well, that's where he'll be this weekend. Tough to stay up with Phil. Working hard. Outdoors. What's in Outdoors? Brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny Mark, that exceptional crew down there, taking great care of you, that's for sure. And Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. You know, if they don't have it, it probably is not around. That's how it works at Bluestem Farm and Ranch. Good morning. It's 8:53.
ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Another ultimatum for Iran. President.